The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading has a very important teaching in it. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 18 in the Gospel of Matthew. And the story in today's Gospel refers to a procedure, a canonical procedure, which was exercised in the church of Matthew in order to effect a reconciliation, somehow to bring somebody back into the fold, not to lose somebody from the community. So we go through these various steps in order to reconcile the person. And that's the text of today's Gospel. It was a procedure used in the church of Matthew to effect a reconciliation. Now, if you look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 13 in the Gospel of John, you have the Last Supper. And there, the dynamic used to reconcile was quite different than mentioned in Matthew. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. He washes the feet of sinners. He is a servant. And through the love of this act of servanthood, reconciliation happens. I once asked the scholar Raymond Brown why it is that only the Gospel of John has the washing of the feet. And he surmised that there was trouble in the church of St. John, a division of some kind at the Eucharist, and therefore the manner in which Jesus taught them about reconciliation before they would go to the Eucharist was to go down on his knees and wash their feet. And when he had finished this, he said, "As I have done, so you must do." That's the manner in which, in the Gospel of John, reconciliation is sought and effected. The second thing about this is that we have here in chapter 18 a very interesting insight into the Church of Matthew, dealing with the power of a community. Now, if you go back in Matthew's Gospel, just two chapters, go back to chapter 16, verse 17. It's a Gospel reading we had in the last couple of weeks. You'll remember this. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus says to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. It was a jurisdictional power that Jesus was giving to Peter, the leader of the church. In theology, we call this the magisterium, which is the teaching role of the Pope and the bishops together. Therefore, the proclamations of the Pope and the bishops become the authentic teaching of the church. It's called the magisterium, the teaching authority and the teaching power of the church. That's in chapter 16. Now look at chapter 18. What's interesting here is it's not the leaders of the community who make this decision. The whole church gets together, it says. The community, a small church, and they discern and they make a decision. It's a community thing. And the gospel says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is a different kind of power than the magisterium, and it's called the faith of the people. Sensus fidelium, the sense of faith, the goodwill, the heart, the soul, the prayer, the faith of the people come together. And the faith of the people is empowered listening to chapter 18 in the Gospel of Matthew. Whatever you loose on earth and you bind on earth, be loosed and bound also in heaven. So there are two complementary voices here. One is the magisterium, and the other is the sense of faith. Sensus fidelium, the sense of faith in God's people. They're not in competition, they're complementary, and they're meant to enrich and enlighten one another. One does not exercise without the other. They're complementary, and they create the whole understanding of God revealing in the community called church. What does this mean historically in the church? In 1522, St. Ignatius, the founder of the Jesuit, the Society of Jesus, he framed what he calls, or what we call, the spiritual exercises of Ignatius. Now it has become a 30-day retreat, typically begins June 30th and finishes July 31st on the feast of St. Ignatius. It's a very intense and prolonged retreat, calling people to be transformed and to be renewed. He wrote those exercises somewhere around the year 1522. And a few years later, in 1534, five companions with Ignatius took vows in Paris, at Montmartre in Paris. And Ignatius added to the spiritual exercises what he called rules. Rules for eating, rules for almsgiving, rules for discernment, and rules for thinking with the church. Rules for thinking with the church. And Ignatius says, we have to be 100% orthodox in obeying the magisterium. Now that was important during that period because that was a reformation. There was a lot of chaos going on. The church was in very bad shape spiritually. And Ignatius is part of the renewal of the church. It will come in 1545. He is still alive by then in the Council of Trent. 1545 to 1563, an effort to renew a church which was struggling fiercely. And therefore, Ignatius, influenced by the historic situation at the time, says magisterium is primary and most important. Not much discussion about the sensus fidelium. What does this mean to us today? When I was young growing up, we knew nothing about sensus fidelium. I mean, if the Pope said something, or the Bishop said something, or the Monsignor said something, that was it. Could it be discussed? No, that was it. It was over. But after the Second Vatican Council, and in more recent times, we have become more conscious of God speaking through the people of God. Now, in my own journey as a priest, the first 20 years of my life were spent in the administration of the archdiocese. I was part of the institution, and therefore my thinking, my whole perspective, and the lens which I interpreted the teaching church was the magisterium. Following the magisterium, I didn't give much attention to the sensus fidelium. Then I came to Holy Family, and I became bonded into a community. Here I found a faith-filled community, a generous community. I found the sensus fidelium here in the openness and the welcoming of the people of Holy Family, in the prayer and the sacrifice of the people of Holy Family. I found God speaking through the people, not the magisterium, but the sensus fidelium, the people of God. And we came together here for Christmas, and we sang in great rejoicing, and all the people came, and you had this sense that God was present in the people. And we came to Easter, and we rejoiced in the passion, death, and resurrection, the great, glorious triumph of Jesus Christ, baptizing people, and we said, wow, God is speaking through the people. We didn't read the magisterium, we read the sense of God in the people. And in the sacramental life of the church, we had the rejoicing and the miracle of new life in the baby being baptized, and people devoting themselves in matrimony, pledging their lives, great rejoicing. In the coming of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, I saw the extraordinary generosity of the people of Holy Family reaching out all the way to Haiti. I saw the welcoming of Holy Family, the openness, the hospitality, the warmth, the bonds of community. God speaks to me. But I also saw a living church. And in recent times, we went through the clerical abuse scandal, which caused a crisis, a darkness in my life. And then I encountered a church that is broken, a church that is sinful. And somehow God spoke to me through the wounds and the brokenness of the church. And then I met the church speaking to me through people who were separated, left out. People in second marriages who were told there isn't a place for you in the community. But God was speaking through the pain and the struggle of a community. I met some families where the father was undocumented, and the whole family is living in fear that ICE will come and break up that family and take their daddy away, the children so fearful. And I said, God is speaking to me through the fear of the people. I met LGBTQ people whose families had rejected them and who were suspicious about the church, saying, is there a place for me in this community? And God spoke to me through their isolation and through their discouragement. The people of God, the faith which they had, they didn't walk away, they yearned to belong. And I said, God speaks to me. I met women in the anxiety of post-abortion who were told they were excommunicated, there was no place for them in the church, and God spoke to me saying, heal people, welcome people. That's the faith of the people of God. That's the spirit of the people of Holy Family. And I see the people of Holy Family reaching out to feed the people here at our giving bank. I say, God speaks that way. So we have the magisterium, the teaching church, and then we have the sensus fidelium. God speaks through the living church, the community. That's what's mentioned here in chapter 18 of Matthew's gospel. It's a listening. It's a connection with God's presence in the people of God, in the yearning, the hopes, and the dreams, and the prayers, the pains which are shared, the struggles, the searching. I mean, young people who are frequently overburdened with anxiety, they're searching. They're living in a world that's fractured and frequently in chaos, and they're searching for a church where somehow their voice will be heard. Why? Because their voice is part of the sensus fidelium. Their voice is a gift. It's a teaching. It's an insight. It's a visitation of God's presence. And then in the community of Holy Family, I heard the magisterium, yes, but I also heard the sensus fidelium, how God speaks through the people. And I discovered that I am part of the people of God, and all the yearnings and all the pains and the struggles of the people of God, they are mine too. So listen. Listen to the yearning, the prayers, the dreams, the hopes of the people of God. That's the teaching of this gospel today. The same teaching that appears in a family. Listen. Pause. You will find yourself in the brokenness which surrounds you, the places you seem to make a judgment. You will find your own sins in the sins that you are judging in another. So keep that in mind. God speaks through the magisterium, the teaching of the church, but also God speaks to us through the people, flesh and blood, the incarnation of Jesus Christ in a living people, a living church. Amen.